Blog Talk Radio.
All of me seagulls and demons, this is Nurse Hatchet. You are listening to the Wolf Pack.
You're listening to An Awakening in Horror with host William Pattison on the Wolf Pack Presents.
Again, oh my god. Gore and scares, everybody. Welcome to An Awakening of Horror. I am your host, William Pattison, and along with me is the horror sex symbol, Mr. Christopher Hyland. Say hello, Mr. Christopher Hyland.
Guess who?
Yeah. Get out your creepy voice. Alrighty, well, this is my first Awakening of Horror for 2016, and I am happy to say that I've got a fantastic interview for us, and Evening is an author who has written a number of books. His current book that he has out in stores is, it's called, What's Your Favorite Scary Movie? And that is Mr. Killian Gore. How you doing, Killian?
Hello. I'm doing very well, thank you.
Yeah. Killian is actually very tired right now because he is actually calling in from England, and oh my God, it's 3 o'clock in the morning there.
It
oh
is.
Oh my
yeah.
God. So,
very late here. Oh, very early.
So you know, we thank him very much for coming on. You know, I mean, you know, this means a lot to us. That you're making such a sacrifice on a Saturday night, or is it Sunday morning to you?
I'm not sure yet.
All righty. Well, tell us a little bit about what's your favorite scary movie?
It's basically a book of interviews where it's the same set of questions. It's 13 questions, all about people's favorite scary movies, but it focuses more like on the positives rather than looking at what movies people don't like. I didn't want it to be a negative book, because there's a lot of people who they sort of like ripping apart horror movies and saying, you know, which movie do you hate and all this. I just wanted it to be more looking about the good stuff, really. So, and there's something quite interesting about sort of looking at the people's different answers to the same questions.
Yeah, I do have to agree with you. I mean, I was looking at the book earlier today, and I was absolutely fascinated. It was like, I mean, you had industrial people, you had horror fans and that, and...
Yeah, there's a nice mix of people. I didn't want it just to be horror filmmakers. I wanted to be horror fans as well, because like I say in the book, you know, it's the horror fans that keep the genre going, really. Not just about the filmmakers. I wanted both worlds covered.
Oh yeah, yeah, and I mean, you know, both sides actually, they have their unique, looks at things, and
yeah.
It's fascinating to how many people just gave set answers, and how many people actually said a little bit more about when they answered. It was fascinating.
Yeah, there was that mix. Some people just gave a one word answer, and I did put that in my pitch to people that, you know, they could just answer with a movie title, or they could talk a little bit more about their answers. I'm not sure if that was the right choice to make, because some people have complained that, you know, there was only one word answers from some people. And I guess that is my own fault, really. I should have maybe urged everyone to say a little bit more. But I think because with some people, I didn't want to infringe upon their time too much, if you know what I mean. I'm not a famous author, and I don't know, maybe I was a bit timid with some people and was just happy to have short answers. I didn't want to push people too much. Maybe I should have done. I'm not sure.
And this was very experimental, too, because I've never seen a book like this. I mean, this is very unique in the way that you handle it, because, you know, most people would be just sitting there, okay, well, you know, we'll just read all these surveys and write down, you know, okay, this subgenre got this, and people, you know, the common thing on this was this and that. But no, mm-hmm. you know, what you get with your book is you actually get a snapshot of the horror community, all the different aspects of the horror community, and their thoughts on horror. I mean, you know, and in many ways, you know, fans are like that. You know, they'll just go, okay, yeah, I like Nightmare on Elm Street. Ask one.
Yeah.
I just like it, you know, whatever. You know, I like horror films, you know, I like slashers, whatever. And they'll pop that attitude. Whereas other people will sit there and they'll give you an explanation, they'll say what they like, you know, they'll talk about character development and that. You know, it's difference between different people. And that's what your book captured.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I really liked it when people said a bit more and started coming up with anecdotes and little stories. I thought that was really interesting. And there are so many little cool stories throughout the book that people gave. And I remember when I was starting doing it, I think initially people were giving short answers. And then I can't remember who it was the first one who gave big answers. And I was like really grateful. Can't remember who that person was.
I kind of noticed on the book, I mean, I can't really tell myself because they kind of blur into each other, but it's what happens is that your mind, while you're reading this, you're connecting stuff. Mm-hmm. It makes connections and it gives you ideas on genres, subgenres. It works for you.
Yeah.
In that way, because it's interactive in some ways.
Yeah. I just have to really tell the story of how Joe Dante got into the book. Quite interesting.
Nice.
Because he's probably the biggest name, I think, in arguably. Would you say Joe Dante is the biggest name in my book?
Yeah, I would say so.
I think he is. Well, maybe it's because I'm such a huge fan. So what happened was I had tried him a few times myself through Facebook, and because he's got a Facebook page, and I wasn't getting any response from him. And then just one day I get a message from someone who's not one of my friends on Facebook, and they're saying it's not actually their Facebook account. She said it was her nephew's, I think. She said, "I'm using my nephew's account to contact you." And she said, "My name's Tara, and I work for Joe Dante." And because a few months previous, I'd done the Burbs quiz book, one of Joe Dante's films, which is one of my favourite films of all time. And she sent a photograph through of Joe Dante holding up the Burbs quiz book. And she said, "I thought you'd really like to see this because a friend of Joe Dante had bought Joe Dante a copy of my book and given it to him. And he was really made up that somebody had done a book about the Burbs." So she sent a couple of photos through with Joe Dante and my book, and it was the best thing I'd ever seen. You know, I was just gobsmacked that he had my book, because he's like such an idol of mine. And so I then said, you know, could you maybe ask Joe Dante if he'd answer some questions for my book? And she said I'll try. She said he's just about to go on a tour of Europe. She said he's literally packing his bags at this minute. But she said, I'll try. So I emailed the questions to her, and she gave in to them. And I think it was only like a couple of hours later, and I got Joe Dante's answers, which was really cool.
Yeah, that actually is. That's awesome. I mean, he took the time and he did that. I mean, I've known a few horror celebrities who are very much that way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, very much.
And of course I shared the photo on social media like crazy.
I was
really proud of it.
Yeah, that's awesome though. I mean, it means a lot when you actually have your heroes. They get your book and they're holding it up,
yeah.
And that you're going, oh my God, it's my book. I mean, I know.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
months ago. I still can't get over it.
Cool. Oh, I know. It startles the hell out of you. You know, I mean, it was just like me at a convention. I was recently at a convention, and Camille Keaton came over to my table.
Uh huh.
And she bought my latest novel, Psychotic Day. And
cool.
She sat there and talked to me and that, and was,
yeah,
you know, saying, oh, I'm gonna really read this, you know, because I was looking for something, you know, to entertain myself, you know, in between, you know, during slow periods. And I said, well, you'll enjoy the book. And you know,
cool.
She later on At the hotel, she caught up with me, and she goes, oh, my God, you know, I got stuck. I mean, I started reading your book, and I couldn't put it down.
Wow, nice.
Yeah. So, anyways, Mr. Hyland, you got any questions for Mr. Gore?
Nothing's coming to mind. What are some of your favorite horror celebrities that you've talked to?
Our favorite horror celebrities? I'm not sure. Obviously, Joe Dante was majorly cool. I got a response from Michael Berryman for the book.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, he's such a horror icon. So that was really good. Even though he gave an answer for his favorite zombie film, which was something I'd never heard of. And I can't remember what it was now. When I looked into it, I think it was a short film. I'd have to grab the book to see what it was, actually. And I did try and get back in touch with him, and he didn't respond. So I just had to accept that was what he meant. But there was another guy. I don't know if you've heard of the actor Dan Palmer. He's a British actor. Have you heard of the film Stalled? Zombies and zombie film.
No, I haven't.
It's a zombie
film.
Zombie films are all set in a toilet or a bathroom, hence the name Stalled, like a toilet stall or a bathroom stall.
Oh,
and yeah, it's a really good film. They also did the film called Freak Out. maybe they're not caught on so much in America.
It's hard sometimes here in America because, I mean, we got like the Asian films coming in. We got them all coming in here, and it's like, you know, some films, you know, just pass us by. It's weird. Try to catch as many as I can.
Okay, I set up another question. Would you say that there's a lack in adapting horror novels to film?
Well, do you think there should be more films based on horror books?
Yes.
Yeah, we don't seem to get quite so many. I mean, there's been The Woman in Black, I suppose, recently. But yeah, I guess there's a lot of horror books. One particular author I'd really love to see some horror movies based on his books is Richard Layman. There's nothing been any, has there?
Yeah,
not,
I know.
Was there one once, the Traveling Vampire Circus? Or something like that.
Oh, neat. Yeah,
I'm not sure
that
was Richard Layman.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, and I haven't seen any Dudley Little books being adapted either. You know, it's mostly Stephen King, Clive Barker, Anne Rice, and that, you know, the big ones.
Yeah.
You rarely see smaller authors getting that stuff.
Yeah.
And if it is, it's usually an independent that's doing it. And sometimes those aren't, they don't have the budget to do what the author had intended.
The Cabin in the Woods didn't say that was based on someone's novel. Did you hear about that?
No.
I'm not
aware of that.
He tried to sue them, apparently, this author in California.
Oh, that, yeah.
Do you remember that? I don't know if he successfully sued them or not.
I don't know.
He had a book that was very, very similar to The Cabin in the Woods, and he took him to court, but I'm not sure what the outcome was.
Yeah. Kind of hard, you know, when you try to do these ones on that. I mean, I know about the, Eddie Murphy one where they tried to sue for Coming to America.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that went anywhere, really.
No.
Yeah, it's kind of hard for, you know, fighting, you know, to get it in court with, against studios and that. They got all the backing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. But, you know, you can't say that the guy can't try. I mean, he can try. You may not. So, anyways, Killian, tell us about some of your other books that you've written.
There's a book called Incredible Horror Movie Facts, which is all sort of strange and interesting stories about makings of horror movies and... we know weird things that have happened, like the Poltergeist curse, which was quite interesting, and of course the Omen curse and the Exorcist curse, and just the sort of quirky little facts about horror movies. That was quite an interesting book to look into and research, and I am doing a part two to that one sometime soon.
Nice.
Yeah. Called Digging Deeper.
Nice. Nice. I'll have to get in touch with you and talk about the weird stuff that happened on the shoot of the adaptation of my one book, Mother's Day. It was a fan production.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is that they had a flood.
They had a flood.
During the shooting, so they had to cut production for like 6 months.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
Yeah.
Because it was like they got shooting halfway, then all of a sudden it started raining, then all of a sudden it started flooding, and they had to leave the place.
Whoa. Did the film get finished?
Oh, yeah, it got finished. The thing was that the director that was doing it, Corey Stevens, you know, he was kind of worried because, you know, he was working on a low budget and he had, you know, volunteers for cast members and stuff. So he thought, oh, well, you know, I could always just put together the footage that I've actually done already.
Yeah.
Or if I really want to do a good adaptation of this book, we can come back and do it. And it would be really hard for them because it would be 6 months later, you know, actors, you know,
would
probably have changed a little bit, you know, the hairstyles and that and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But he managed to get it done, and it's a wonderful adaptation. Very well done.
It's called Mother's Day.
Yeah, it's called Friday the 13th, Mother's Day. You can find it on YouTube.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'll look out for that. It reminds me, with you saying Mother's Day, you know the film, Lloyd, the trauma film, Mother's Day?
Yeah. Yeah, I get that quite a bit. What, you wrote Mother's Day?
Saying,
I said, no, I wrote Friday the 13th, Mother's Day.
No, I was just going to say about the film Mother's Day that when I was doing the Incredible Horror Movie Facts book, I was trying to get to the truth of something I'd read about that, where they'd said that the house that they filmed in, which was in New Jersey, they said that somebody had been murdered in the house. I think it says that on Internet Movie Database. Yeah, I think it's got it on Internet Movie Database. And then other people say that there wasn't a murder. It was just like there was just a dead person found in the house when they were shooting the house or something like that. All these different stories. And I didn't want any sort of facts in my book that weren't true. So if there was ever anything on the Internet where it looked like I was getting loads of different stories, and you know, I needed to try and track down what the truth was. So I remember I contacted Rex Piano, who I think I'm not sure how he worked on the film. I think he was a set decorator on Mother's Day. I contacted him, and I seem to remember he said there was no dead body found in the house, or there'd been no murder there. So I don't know where this where it comes from on the internet.
So it's kind of an urban legend about it.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I think all it is that somebody died of natural causes in the house, and their body wasn't found immediately. It'd been left there for a number of years, possibly a number of years. But there was no murder and there was no body found whilst they were filming the movie. I think they just said there was dead animals in the house and that was it.
It makes it for a more interesting film.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yes. Definitely.
A little history on that. The thing is that we are in archive mode right now, which means the last 15 minutes here will be archived. So people will get to actually listen to it later, which is most of our listeners anyways. They listen to it later on. They don't listen to the live broadcast. So it always works out pretty good.
Yep.
Good. We got Mr. Hyland back. Isn't that wonderful, Mr. Hyland?
Yeah.
Cool. So, Killian, I also heard that you wrote a book of short stories as well.
Yep. Yeah, that was the first thing I ever self-published. That was called Before Halloween, and that's 13 spooky little stories. They're all sort of vaguely based on horror movies. There's one of them in there called Morning Jogger, which is a sort of retelling of The Wicker Man, which is one of my favorite movies. I actually, a couple of years ago, was on, this has nothing to do with Before Halloween, actually, but I was on holiday in Scotland, and we went to this beach, and it was a nice beach and everything. And there's this cave there called St. Ninian's Cave, and there's a little plaque about it and everything. And, you know, it's quite cool and everything. And then, like a few months later, I was rewatching The Wicker Man, the new Final Cut version. And I hadn't seen it for a number of years. And I saw that there was this scene on the beach, and I saw this cave, and I thought, that looks really familiar. And I looked it up, and it was the beach from Wicker Man that we'd visited. And I had no idea at the time I'd been on the Wicker Man beach. I was really annoyed. I was really annoyed that I didn't know when I was there.
I can't remember the director now. Mr. Hyland, you remember the director that did Pan's Labyrinth?
Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, Guillermo del Toro. His movie,
Devil's Backbone.
No. It was the one about the
Cronus.
The Orphanage.
The Orphanage.
Yes.
Yeah, The Orphanage. They had a beach scene, and I think they used the same beach there too.
This, from The Wicker Man?
Yeah.
Did they? Oh. I was shocked that at that beach that there doesn't mention The Wicker Man at all. You know, there's nothing to say The Wicker Man was filmed here.
Yeah,
you'd think there would be.
They do that a lot. You know, there's a lot of, films that, the locations are never mentioned. Kind of weird.
I'd really love to visit America and go to there's so many horror film locations I'd love to see in America. Especially like... The Friday the 13th locations, the original one, Blairstown, New Jersey. I'd love to go and see that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, see that one.
Have you seen that one?
No, never been to Blairstown, but I've heard enough about it.
Yeah.
They don't usually let people in there, unfortunately.
No, I've read that, yeah. It's an actual boy scout camp, isn't it?
Yeah.
Camp Nobie. can't remember the name.
Yeah.
Nobibosco. Yeah, they don't like people going there, do they?
A fan actually did a recreation of the house from Halloween.
Oh yeah, yeah, I know, yeah.
And he has tours of that, and he does like a Halloween on Halloween night. He actually shows Halloween in the front yard.
Cool.
And dresses up as Michael Myers.
I've seen that. The Myers house.
Yeah. Unfortunately now, you know, you come to California, you can't see the Psycho House anymore.
Really?
They actually tore it down. Universal Studios tore it down so that you're gonna love this because you're from England. They tore it down so that they could build Hogwarts.
I didn't know that. Oh
yeah.
No, I always wanted to go and see that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. And what's disgusting is that they had the duplicate house, you know, in the Universal Studios thing in Florida, and they tore down that one for Hogwarts.
Yeah, I think they used the one in Florida for part 4, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yes, it was part 4. It was part 4, yep.
Yeah, they built that for part 4. And,
yeah,
people were disgusted about that. They tried, you know, doing petitions with them, you know, save the house. Why don't you just move it or that? And they wouldn't do it. They just tore it down.
I can't believe it. I always wanted to go and see that.
Yeah,
that was on my to-do list.
They tore down the Red Sea. They tore down the village from Frankenstein.
No, that's gone as well.
Yeah.
Oh. These are all places I wanted to visit.
Oh, I know. I mean, it makes you sick.
Yeah,
especially
as it's Hogwarts, because we've got Hogwarts here in England.
I know, you got
Hogwarts. We've got the real one.
Yeah.
Oh.
See that, Mr. Potter? Aren't you ashamed of yourself?
Don't look at me. I didn't do it.
Yeah, right. Anyway, so...
Still got the Texas Chainsaw Massacre house over there.
Yeah,
I believe that's
that and they're fixing up the gas station.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, and what's funny is that the Texas Chainsaw Massacre house is actually a restaurant.
A restaurant?
They serve barbecue there.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
It's hilarious. Texas Chainsaw Massacre House is a barbecue house. Oh my god. I don't know.
That'd be funny if they had if they did a franchise based off of that.
Yeah, that would be like right out of Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. Oh my god.
Oh, and you have the Shining House. Well, hotel, don't you? The Timberland Lodge, isn't it?
Yeah, Timberland Lodge.
Oregon.
But we actually got the original Overlook Hotel, which is the Stanley Hotel.
That's right, the one at the Stephen King base. Oh, no, the interior was based on the set design, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But weirdly,
yeah.
All the interiors were shot in England, weren't they? you know, on a sound stage, which is all gone. That's annoying. I'm actually in the same country as they shot the majority of The Shining, but there's nothing to visit. There's nothing left. It's all set. Mm-hmm. You've got all the cool stuff that you can actually visit in America.
Well, because they actually shot the miniseries of The Shining at the Stanley Hotel.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And I believe don't they play The Shining on a loop on a particular channel?
Yeah.
I've heard that. Yeah.
Yeah, there is a new horror channel. I can't remember what it's called. They've been advertising it lately.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you haven't heard of it?
No, I haven't. Well, the thing is,
I think it's called. I could be wrong, but I think it's called Shudder. I could be wrong.
Oh yeah, Shudder. Okay, I've heard it, but I thought it was a web-based one. Could be wrong. Could be it's a web-based and a television-based one. But I mean that sounds good though. You know, because I don't have any horror stations.
They got rid of Oh, go ahead.
You know, they don't have Chiller, and they don't have any, you know, Fear, you know, Fear thing or other, whatever it was.
.net.
Yeah, Fear.net.
Yeah, they got rid of that. That was a shame that they did that, because they used to, on occasion, partake in that channel.
Really? Mr. Highland actually watching television? Oh, my God.
Yes, I do, believe it or not.
Yeah, I was telling Jillian that you read about 30 books a month.
Not that much. Mostly audiobooks.
Yeah, well...
Oh,
well,
audiobooks are cool.
Yeah, he goes nuts on them. And then he IMs me about them, and it's like, oh, have you read this book? Have you read that book? What book? I don't even know what you're talking about. And then he has to explain it to me. I wound up him the one time though, because I read The Heart Shaped Box before he did.
Oh, it's weird that you said that. I was just thinking about Joe Hill's Nosferatu. Because I heard that as an audiobook. Have you heard that one on audiobook? It's really good. It's, I think, Kate Mulgrew. Is that the right name? She's the actress from Star Trek Voyager. Star Trek Voyager. And she does a really good job of it. She does all the voices really, really well for the characters and everything. It's really good audiobook. And just a good book in general. I believe they're making that into a TV series.
Oh.
Nice.
Have you read it?
Alrighty, gentlemen. We got about another minute before Blog Talk knocks us off. But then in about 10 minutes, you guys are going to be calling back in, and we're going to be continuing this on part 2.
All right.
And then we'll get in some really good chat talk on horror in general and the horror community and all that. All good stuff.
Cool.